Imagine a massive state-of-the-art factory. It's just incredibly efficient, right?
Right, churning out millions of units a day.
Yeah, exactly. And the executives, they want to push the production line even faster. So to hit these unprecedented speeds, they decide to just fire all the floor supervisors and let a central algorithm handle all the quality control.
Which sounds like this hyper-efficient dream, honestly.
It does,
Yeah.
until, a machine miscalibrates. And because there is literally no human on the floor to hit the red stop button, the factory just churns out 100,000 defective products before anyone even realizes what happened.
That's a perfect way to frame what we're looking at today.
Right. Well, welcome to your custom-tailored deep dive. Today, our mission is to extract the most crucial intelligence from the Tekken Morning Briefing, dated Monday, August 17th, 2026. We are getting you fully caught up on a really high-stakes business week across the international tech and gaming sectors.
And we are looking at six major developments today
Yeah.
that are basically dictating the entire tech landscape right now. I mean, we've got massive cybersecurity breaches, completely unreleased video game prototypes.
Well, that one is crazy.
It really is. Plus, historic platform collaborations and these major AI safety restructurings.
And the unifying thread pulling all this intelligence together is this escalating tension between rapid commercial scaling, so whether that's automation or, walled corporate ecosystems, and the absolutely indispensable need for human oversight and physical security.
Yeah, we're basically looking at what happens when tech giants decide to just push the throttle to the absolute maximum and strip away the human guardrails.
Exactly.
Because when you prioritize speed and scale over actual verification,
Yeah.
the fallout is immediate. So let's examine how this plays out when corporate ambition outpaces human oversight. And we can start with the interactive entertainment space.
Yeah, let's start there.
So Sony Interactive Entertainment recently faced a massive clutter issue on the global PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
For years, the storefront has just been flooded with shovelware.
Right. And for anyone who doesn't track storefront economies, shovelware refers to these incredibly low-effort, mass-produced digital games. Developers execute what's called an asset flip.
Oh, yeah, the asset flips.
Yeah, they basically go to a digital storefront, buy a pre-made 3D model of like a forest or a basic character for $10, slap them together with zero original programming, and then just sell it for a dollar.
And often the only reason these even exist is to exploit the storefront algorithms or, offer users instant platinum trophies just for literally pressing a single button 10,000 times.
Right. It's basically gaming the system.
Exactly. And it creates a miserable user experience because it buries legitimate original games. So to solve this, Sony deployed an automated platform-wide algorithmic sweep.
Just a massive purge.
Basically, yeah. And in terms of pure volume, the algorithm did its job. It purged over 1,200 of these asset flip clones and trophy farming titles practically overnight.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because Sony's algorithm essentially acted like a high-powered robotic vacuum cleaner.
Okay, I like that.
You set it loose in your house, and it aggressively cleans up all the dirt and the dust bunnies, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But because it doesn't actually understand context, because it doesn't know the difference between a clump of dirt and, say, the diamond ring that fell off your nightstand, it just sucks up your valuable jewelry, too.
Yeah, that lack of context is the core operational hazard of removing human moderation. Because that automated enforcement sweep inadvertently targeted legitimate, highly polished indie releases.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, verified creators who were making these experimental narrative experiences, minimalist puzzles, retropixel platformers, they suddenly had their games misclassified as commercial shovelware.
That's devastating.
It is. Their developer portal access was revoked without a single human warning.
And this happened right over crucial weekend launch windows, right?
Exactly.
Which, for a small indie studio, I mean, missing your opening weekend revenue can literally bankrupt your company.
It's the make or break moment. Now, Sony has since pledged to create a 48-hour manual appeals process to reinstate verified creators. But European indie developer associations are heavily protesting this. They're demanding mandatory human review before any automated delistings.
Which is actually how competing platforms operate, isn't it?
Yeah, Valve's Steam platform utilizes a hybrid approach. They let community algorithmic flags identify potential shovelware, but the actual decision to remove a game undergoes direct human review.
Meaning a real person actually looks at it.
Exactly. And their false positive rate for legitimate indie developers is practically zero. It proves that transparent human arbitration isn't a luxury, it is a structural necessity for a functioning ecosystem.
But, you know, the stakes of a rogue algorithm go way beyond just deleting a few indie games. When you apply that exact same ship it and forget it mentality to artificial intelligence, the collateral damage isn't just lost weekend revenue.
No, it's far more severe.
Right. OpenAI has officially disbanded their dedicated preparedness team.
Yeah, and to give some background, the preparedness team was established specifically to audit extreme catastrophic risks associated with frontier AI models.
So the really heavy stuff.
Exactly. Their mandate was to systematically evaluate hazards, like automated malware synthesis, the potential for a model to help users synthesize biological weapons, and basically the loss of human control in artificial general intelligence or AGI systems.
Right. And AGI essentially refers to an AI that can autonomously outperform humans in most economically valuable tasks.
Exactly. But instead of keeping that team independent, the researchers have been absorbed directly into the product engineering divisions.
Wow.
The intelligence indicates this structural reorganization is entirely driven by the race for commercial monetization.
I mean, absorbing independent safety auditors into the product team that is essentially like asking a car manufacturer to conduct their own crash tests while the car is actively driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour.
That is a terrifying image, but yeah, it's accurate. Rapidly deploying their next frontier models, like GPT-5, is clearly taking precedence over existential risk oversight.
It's just wild to me.
Well, what's fascinating here is the systemic pattern. I mean, both Sony and OpenAI are demonstrating the acute operational hazards of removing independent human arbitration.
Right.
When you fold your safety auditors into the very division they're supposed to be evaluating, you totally compromise their ability to act as an objective brake on the system. And deploying powerful foundation models without exhaustive independent safety validation severely heightens enterprise exposure to automated cyber threat.
Wait, let me play devil's advocate here for a second, though.
So,
Doesn't OpenAI have to scale at breakneck speed just to fund the immense compute cost of these massive models? Like, if they keep their safety researchers entirely walled off, constantly hitting the brakes, don't they risk losing the arms race to competitors? Are they doing this out of pure corporate greed, or is it out of basic survival in a hyper-competitive market?
I mean, the pressure to scale is undeniably massive. There's no question there. But the elite safety researchers in the field are arguing that treating safety as a speed bump rather than a structural pillar is a fatal miscalculation.
Which is why people are leaving.
Exactly. That is why we are seeing a massive migration of senior talent defecting from OpenAI to mission-driven competitors like Anthropic.
Ah, Anthropic.
Anthropic maintains a fully independent alignment and frontier safety division. They operate on the premise that if you deploy an untested model that gets weaponized by bad actors, the resulting legislative blowback will destroy your company way faster than just losing a few months in the development race.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we've been talking a lot about digital ecosystems and enterprise security, but let's look at the terrifying real-world consequences when these digital infrastructures actually fail and compromise our physical safety.
Because the fallout is rarely confined just to the digital realm.
Exactly.
The situation with SafePal perfectly illustrates this physical vulnerability. So SafePal is a premier manufacturer of hardware wallets for digital assets.
Right, for storing crypto securely.
Yeah. And the architecture of the wallet itself is incredibly robust. The on-chain cryptographic private keys, the blockchain encryption protecting the funds, all of that performed flawlessly. The threat actors didn't even attempt to attack the blockchain.
They realized they didn't have to because to mail you the physical device, SafePal had to use a standard e-commerce order management plugin on their storefront.
Yes.
So the hackers completely bypassed the billion-dollar crypto vault by hacking the digital FedEx truck that delivered the safe to your house.
That's exactly what happened. Through a basic e-commerce plugin exploit, they exposed the full names, phone numbers, email addresses, and physical residential shipping locations of nearly 40,000 customers.
40,000. That is staggering.
It is. And in the digital asset security space, leaking a physical address creates an acute danger known as a $5 wrench attack.
Right, because it completely invalidates military-grade encryption.
Totally. If a criminal network knows your home address, drives to your house, and threatens you with a $5 wrench, the digital cryptography protecting your wallet is entirely irrelevant. You are going to hand over the passcode.
Yeah, of course you are. And this kind of real-world exposure is happening on a massive scale. Coupled with the SafePal leak, threat actor successfully breached internal databases belonging to the General Directorate of Public Finances, the DGFiP, in France.
State-level data.
Yes. They exfiltrated the personal identity records, residential addresses, and fiscal data of over 678,000 French citizens.
That is just, I mean, we are looking at hundreds of thousands of people whose physical whereabouts and financial status are now exposed.
So what do people even do?
Well, the mitigation protocols for this specific type of physical-digital overlap are pretty demanding. Affected individuals have to maintain extreme vigilance regarding unsolicited postal deliveries. Specifically, physical mailings containing malicious QR codes designed to compromise home networks.
Wow, they mail you a QR code. That's sneaky. The technical mitigations are just as crucial, though. You have to utilize hardware-bound multi-factor authentication, like FIDO2 keys.
Right.
And for anyone unfamiliar, a FIDO2 key is basically a physical USB stick you keep on your keychain. When you try to log into an account, you physically have to plug it into your computer and tap a button on the device.
Which is huge for security.
Yeah, it means even if a hacker in another country steals your password, they are entirely locked out because they physically do not have that specific USB stick in their hands.
And for digital asset holders, migrating high-value reserves to multi-signature vaults is the ultimate defense against the $5 wrench attack.
How does that work exactly?
So a multi-signature, or multi-sig vault, requires multiple devices or multiple trusted individuals to authorize a transaction. For example, a 2-of-3 multi-sig requires two separate cryptographic keys to move funds.
Okay, I see.
So even if someone physically forces you to unlock the device in your home, they cannot access the assets without the second key, which might be stored in a bank vault or held by a trusted partner.
That's smart. So what does this all mean for you? If you are listening to this, you likely use dozens of highly secure applications, right? Banking, crypto, healthcare. You assume you are safe because the core technology is encrypted.
But it's about the weakest link.
Exactly. How many of those ultra-secure services did you sign up for using a generic third-party email client or a basic retail portal? You can build a digital fortress to protect your data, but if you leave the front door to your physical home wide open through a basic third-party shipping plugin, the fortress is useless.
Totally useless.
You really need to audit your own digital supply chain today and see where your physical address is unnecessarily lingering.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, these centralized points of failure are almost always dictated by top-down executive decisions, like, you know, choosing a vulnerable third-party plugin simply to save on development costs rather than building a custom, secure checkout architecture.
Yeah, that top-down corporate control is actually the perfect bridge to the interactive entertainment side of this week's intelligence, because those exact same types of executive directives dictate the digital worlds we are allowed to experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes they kill innovation, and sometimes they bridge entirely new realms. Let's look at this incredible archival discovery regarding Sledgehammer Games, the development studio heavily associated with the Call of Duty franchise.
Right.
They secretly built a fully functional prototype for a third-person squad-based multiplayer shooter set in the Halo universe.
Which is just wild to think about. I mean, the mechanical implications of that are staggering.
Right.
Halo has historically been the quintessential first-person shooter. So transitioning to a third-person, over-the-shoulder perspective fundamentally changes the spatial awareness of the player.
Yeah, you can see around corners, your peripheral vision expands. And most importantly, you can actually see your own character's movements and armor in real time.
Which is exactly why the Sledgehammer prototype featured real-time Spartan armor customization during active combat skirmishes. You could visibly see the upgrades on your character as you played.
That's so cool.
And they leveraged proprietary rendering engines to compute dynamic destruction across Covenant armor plating. And because they had that wider third-person camera angle, they engineered physics-driven microthruster aerial mobility.
Meaning they were doing zero-gravity stuff, right?
Yeah. Designing vertically oriented zero-gravity orbital multiplayer arenas requires a completely different approach to momentum and cover systems than a grounded first-person shooter.
I was reading the quote from Thomas Reed, the former lead systems designer at Sledgehammer. He noted that the third-person Spartan prototype delivered some of the most fluid kinetic movement they had ever engineered.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, grounding the heavy weight of a Spartan super soldier within modern squad maneuvers felt revolutionary. Its seamlessly integrated tactical aiming with momentum-based energy sword combat. It was this massive mechanical leap.
And yet,
executives completely killed the project. Directives came down abruptly terminating it, reallocating all the engineering staff back to the annualized Call of Duty pipeline.
See, it is a textbook case of a walled garden mentality stifling innovation. The corporate machine prioritized the guaranteed, scaled revenue of a yearly franchise release over an innovative leap forward.
It's so frustrating.
They took an incredible team of engineers who had built a functional, revolutionary software build and literally forced them back onto the assembly line.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Contrast that canceled Halo project with leaked internal documentation from Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney. The documents reveal advanced technical negotiations for an official transmedia crossover bridging Fortnite and Roblox. So Sledgehammer's Halo was killed by walled garden thinking, locking developers into an isolated silo. But Fortnite and Roblox are actively tearing down the walls.
That is massive. The scope of this collaboration is unprecedented. We are looking at cross-platform avatar interoperability.
Meaning what, exactly, for the player?
It means purchasing a digital asset like, let's say, a cosmetic jacket in Fortnite and having that exact same digital item instantly available and wearable on your avatar inside a user-generated world in Roblox.
The economic realization here is just brilliant. For decades, the console war mentality has been about hoarding a shrinking market. You know, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo wanted you locked in their ecosystem, spending 100% of your money on their specific platform.
Right.
But tech giants are finally waking up to the fact that taking a 10% shared tax on a massive, unified global economy is infinitely more profitable than hoarding total control over an isolated garden.
And this raises an important question about the future architecture of the internet. The Fortnite and Roblox alliance signifies a massive historic milestone. It's transitioning the two largest gaming ecosystems from zero-sum competition to shared infrastructure collaboration.
It's the metaverse actually happening.
Yes, it is the first tangible, functional manifestation of an open metaverse where user identity and digital property are not confined to a single corporate server.
So bringing all of this intelligence together, a very clear narrative emerges from this week's developments.
It's totally.
We've examined how algorithms lack the crucial context needed to curate storefronts, sweeping up legitimate indie creators on PlayStation. We've seen the enterprise risks created when OpenAI dissolves its independent safety team in the race for product deployment.
Right, the car crash test analogy.
Exactly. And we mapped out the terrifying physical dangers of supply chain data leaks from SafePal and the French tax authorities, and how a basic shipping plugin can literally bypass a billion-dollar crypto vault.
The $5 wrench attack is very real.
Very real. And finally, we contrasted the stifled creativity of a canceled Halo prototype with the boundless economic potential of an interconnected Fortnite and Roblox metaverse.
And across every single one of these developments, user trust and human oversight remain the most fragile and vital currencies in the digital era.
Absolutely.
Whether you are automating a storefront or scaling an artificial intelligence model, removing the human element for the sake of speed ultimately compromises the integrity of the entire system.
Well said. Before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We've discussed the real-world dangers of digital leaks, like your physical shipping address being exposed by a vulnerable third-party plugin.
Right.
And we've also talked about the incredible potential of interconnected digital worlds, like avatars moving seamlessly between Fortnite and Roblox. But what happens when you combine those two realities?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
As these digital borders dissolve and your singular digital identity, your wallets, your avatars, your assets, exist simultaneously across multiple interconnected corporate worlds, who ultimately protects your digital identity?
Yeah, who is in charge?
Exactly. If you exist simultaneously across a shared infrastructure, does a data breach in one single ecosystem mean your entire identity is instantly compromised everywhere? As the walls come down and the digital world merges into one massive network, you have to ask yourself, who's actually watching the gates? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this intelligence equips you with the foresight and perspective you need for an inspiring, highly productive week ahead.